Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey folks, it is your bailiff, Jake, here to get everybody excited and in the spirit for our fall tour, which is featuring a bunch of live Dungeon Court episodes. We are releasing this very special first ever live performance of Dungeon Court at the Wilbur in Boston right here in this feed for you. And guess what? If you want to, you can come check us out on the road, see a classic campaign show, or you might even be able to catch a live Dungeon Court if we're coming to your city. So check out nadpod.com/live for all of our dates. But here they are, because why not? What the hell? September 13th, we are headed to Minneapolis for a Dungeon Court live. September 14th, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. September 15th, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And September 16th, we will be in Chicago, Illinois for another Dungeon Court live. October 7th, of course, we will be in New York City for our Carnegie show, which is sold out. Thank you very much. October 26th will be in LA for a Dungeon Court Live. October 27th in Denver, Colorado. October 28th in Sacramento, California. And October 29th, Dungeon Court Live in Portland is sold out. Thank you very much. November 10th, we will be in Las Vegas. November 14th, we will be in New Orleans. November 15th in Orlando, Florida. And finally, November 17th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for a Dungeon Court Live, folks. Come check it out. We will see you out there. Dungeon, 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 dungeon.
What's up, Boston? Woo! Yeah! Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun-dun.
Yeah! We are your Supreme Crit Justices. I am Justice Murphy. Thank you. Yeah! Thank you, thank you, thank you. Order! Order! And then, of course, Justice Axford. Order!
Order! Order!
Come on!
Have you no decorum? Justice Tanner. Kalu Kale, Kalu Kale, Kalu Kale, Kalu Kale.
Order!
Enough!
Order!
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 I'm going to be a tyrant with this thing.
You should have never given me your hammer.
The lowly, 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 lowly,
lowly, lowly, lowly, lowly. Thank you. It's a record-setting amount of lowlies. Yeah, it's more than I've ever heard before.
And we also wanted to shout out Sam Weiler is in the crowd tonight. He composed the theme song.
Yeah!
And with that, we will throw to Bailiff Jake.
Wait. We should ask the audience, how do you want us to feel about Bailiff Jake today?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I'm hearing mixed.
Sounds pretty clear.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like, let's do the...
There's just like one hearty boo that really started it off.
That's my ex.
Resonated. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then it's settled. Everyone hates me.
So ordered.
Yeah.
But you need to respect me enough to all rise.
Yeah.
Do we also rise? I don't know how this works.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding. You may be seated.
Do judges usually rise for their announcement?
I think
no one is above the law, Justice Axford.
Well, yeah, you rise for Justice Axford and Tanny and Tanner. Axford rises for Murphy and Caldwell.
Okay,
so yeah, everyone's rising.
They do like the wave.
Yeah.
And
thanks for clearing that up. Who gave you a chair?
Yes, I should. I've actually stacked several small stools on one another.
Good.
All right. Our first case comes from Amber S., who is here in row E, if anybody's curious.
Whoa.
I'm curious.
Thanks for joining us.
I bow before the esteemed justices. I even hang my head in shame to that other guy.
You have to hang that head really low.
You're kissing the floor.
I ask a simple question. Am I the asshole?
Mm.
I present the case of the killer steed. My friends and I have a long-standing game. We have a drunken bard, Thor, an honorable warforged, Akaroth, and a sneaky rogue, Berlin. Mm-hmm. I, as the rogue Berlin, saved a nightmare steed from hell, and as a gift from my god Lyra, the god of mist and deceit, he was reborn as a mist horse, Shadow.
Cool.
Cool.
Good so far.
Hey,
sounds very rad.
Into it.
He is my constant companion, and we ride to battle together and share a telepathic bond. Okay. Our big bad, who we like to call Daddy, is...
Yes. I feel your DM's pain. This sounds...
Yeah, this is the way the game was meant to be played.
Daddy is known as the Maker. He made Akaroth. He wants to take over the world and turn it into his utopia. He's always one step ahead of us, and when we got to a new town, there so happens to be another warforged there named Madion. Akaroth wanted to be friends and took him on a bro date.
Sure.
Thor and Berlin snuck into his headquarters, and shocking, he was a bad guy working with Daddy.
Oh, one of Daddy's baddies.
Mm-hmm. A daddy baddie. We ambushed him at his secret warehouse, and during the battle, Berlin fell on her turn, and the mist horse Shadow kicked Madion, delivering the final death blow. When my DM asked if I wanted it to be a non-fatal blow, I said, I don't think a horse could decide that.
I mean...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And
I feel both people so hard. Do you want it? No.
And in his grief, he would most likely go for the kill. Akaroth was upset that he couldn't question Madion. I asked the court, did I take it too far in allowing my horse's grief to fuel him land the blow? Or did my steed deserve justice?
Horses know how to count.
Now,
they do? What?
You can teach a horse how to count. They're smarter than you.
What do you... Explain yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you...
Horses,
a horse?
Yeah.
You can teach a horse how to count.
What the fuck does that mean?
And what the fuck does it have to do with
this? They have the mental capacity to learn.
Everything has a mental capacity to learn. What do you mean it knows how to count?
Can it use a calculator?
No, it can like clop its hoof. If you're like, hey, Butternut, count to four?
But can a horse hold a grudge?
I don't know. Birds can hold grudges for sure. I don't know if a
yeah,
horse can hold grudges.
If this were a crow, a crow could.
Okay.
But I
now,
do think like horses are also really easily scared. And when you're easily scared, you don't have the presence of mind to deliver non-lethal blows.
Yeah. Can I also, can I say though, we have a thematically similar case that I'd like to read.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Chris M. wrote, to the illustrious court and the decent bailiff.
Oh. You lost the tiebreaker.
Yeah. I have been playing a warforged named Akaroth in a campaign.
Is this what Double Jeopardy is?
For 3 years in a campaign with my wife, Thoradin, and our best friend who officiated our wedding.
Oh,
Berlin.
The depths.
With my brother as the DM. Akaroth had lost his memories after he was accidentally brought to Faerun from Eberron during a battle with a mad scientist. Lost and alone, he joined the party in hopes he could find some answers as they adventured. Mm. And everybody knows what's happened from here.
Yeah.
Goes into overdrive trying to become friends with Madion, but was crushed when he learned that Madion was working with the BBEG. Eventually, this led to a showdown in Madion's art studio. I asked the party.
That was not mentioned earlier.
Berlin said it was a warehouse. I asked the party in and out of game to not kill Madion so that he could be questioned. But after Berlin dropped to zero HP, Shadow dealt a killing blow despite my pleas.
Okay.
Afterwards, Madion's body was stolen so he could not be resurrected. Our friend claimed she had no choice because that's what Shadow would have done after seeing Berlin go down.
Okay, Shadow would not have stolen a body.
Yeah, that's tough.
Shadow called a cleaning service to remove the body.
Shadow can't regulate their emotions, but they can thieve a body.
They can count, but they don't know about resurrection.
This horse was exacting.
Yeah. So should my friend take accountability for the killing blow, or was she justified in saying the horse made her do it?
The horse made her.
This is a level beyond. That's what my character would do.
Yeah,
that's what my
character's
horse will do.
The horse made me do it.
To me, it seems clear that like the DM had some plans for this this Warforged, and they were spirited away before anyone could ask them questions that would reveal information that is crucial.
Oh, that could be true.
But it sounds like the horse is the one that dragged Madion's body away.
I might have interjected that theme.
Oh, okay. No.
Just because I thought it was funny.
Can we ask a question because they're here?
Let's get some follow-up.
We can actually get some clarification.
We need some testimony.
Yeah, you don't get to defend yourself in my courtroom.
But you can give a yes-no answer.
Did the horse lose the body?
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. So the horse didn't pick up the body and shove it in a furnace. No, that didn't happen. Okay.
This Even changes, though they can count,
this kind of changes everything for me.
Uh huh. How high can the horse count, though?
The horse can't count.
It could.
What you're talking? Okay. The horse can't be counted on. Is what we've certainly learned.
I need to see a video of a horse counting. Because I think it's just getting positive reinforcement, right?
You're being like,
this is four. I give you a cookie when you get four. I'll give you a carrot. And then it does four.
It knows to clop its hooves four times.
So I know, but that's... If it is positive reinforcement, then it wasn't the horse's choice. They were doing it to try to impress the rider. And therefore, it wasn't the horse that made them do it. Rather, it was the rider that made them do it.
Oh...
I guess
the rider was out.
Oh, the rider was out?
Yeah, to play devil's horse's advocate, I feel like... Normally, I would say that the horse would be smarter because they share like a psychic bond with Berlin. Mm-hmm. But I guess if Berlin was knocked out, that bond might be temporarily severed. So maybe they did revert to a more primal state.
It's the answering machine, yeah.
Yeah. You could maybe give that point to the DM there.
I think if you made a horse so mad that it was kicking you while you were down, I don't know that it stops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if I were riding on a horse and then I got... knocked out and telepathically went dark, my constant companion would go into a state of rage.
If you're in a small room and that horse wants to get you down, it's not going to stop until you stop.
Which is like,
right?
Don't bring a horse into an artist's loft, first of all. I don't know. If they're a sculptor, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But the being asked out of game was...
Yeah, it is a really funny context.
Because, like, I'm wondering, like, could you have prepped this horse? Could you have been like, Shadow, we're about to go into a battle. We need to make sure that we can question this person later. If you kick, make sure you kick, like, a shoulder. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you need to train it. You need to be like, this guy's down, kick him in the shoulder, here's a carrot.
Right.
Yeah. You have to downtime train non-lethal damage.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, it was left up to the DM. It's mm-hmm. not like... Yeah. Oh, the horse goes nuts, and I want my horse to murder this person.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know what the horse is going to do. The horse is mad.
Yeah.
Maybe in that case, we could have thrown to the horse. The horse has stats. We could have done a wisdom set. Like,
oh.
So this is on the DM.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, I'll roll it right now.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Is it? So
what horse stats?
Oh, it was a nightmare, right? Or then it turned into a mist horse?
Mist horse.
That's Ooh. A four.
Yeah,
that's in how many horsemen of the apocalypse there are. It's done. It's so done.
They're getting kicked.
This was player versus player, but it ends up the DM is charged.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not charging a horse.
Yeah.
No.
Or being charged by a horse.
Have y'all ever, like, stood behind a horse before? It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I think you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. They are all muscle.
But yeah, no, if you're trying to teach it to count, you have to stand behind it.
Yeah. You have to give it a positive butt pat. How many times am I patting your butt? Five times? Great.
What's this DM's punishment?
They have to train a horse how to count.
Yes. And the real way.
The real way.
We want the horse to actually know how to count.
They need to internalize the numbers.
They need to internalize it. Yeah.
So ordered.
Yeah.
So ordered.
So I think.
So both Amber and Chris.
No, just Amber's right.
Are free.
No. Chris is wrong.
Chris was not the DM.
I know, but Amber left it up to the DM, who we punished.
Yeah.
Chris is mad that what happened, but we think that what happened is fine.
Yeah. Okay, so then does Chris have to
we
get
were
punished
talking
too?
About beforehand that I was like, I'm worried that you guys are going to be too nice since the people are in the crowd, so I'm going to be meaner.
Murph was like, I can't wait to get booed.
Boo. Be nicer to Jake, dude. Who said that?
Shit. All right, we'll be nice to Jake.
Okay, our next case comes from Deborah, who is here in row 7. What's up, Deborah?
What's up, Deborah?
Hey. Row 7 represent.
To the Honorable Supreme Crit Justices and the bountifully bearded Bailiff Jake.
Wow.
Appreciate that.
Oh, and you're lucky we're being nice to Jake now.
Yeah.
Because
that would have been a tiebreaker.
A couple seconds ago.
You never know where the wind's going to blow.
Damn. You shouldn't have been nice to me, Chris.
This isn't even a real beard. Comes right off.
Whoa. Yeah, it was part of the costume.
It came with the shirt.
Jake is like, please don't follow this joke.
May it please the court, I present the case of the wasted polymorph. In our campaign, I play a druid, and we recently leveled up, giving me access to my 4th level spell slot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Our party was in a multi-session battle, and everyone was in rough shape, particularly our barbarian, who had already been knocked out and used his relentless endurance to stay at 1 HP. As we fought the battle, or as we thought the battle was ending, and all we had left to do was break a magical portal.
You got it.
NPCs, thanks. NPCs alerted our party to another wave of orcs running in from the north.
No.
The north.
The north.
Seeing
the state of our party, I decided to use my only 4th level spell, Polymorph, to turn our nearly dead barbarian into a giant ape with 157 HP and attacks.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Good move.
Fun use of the spell.
Uh-huh. Attacks like rock throw. However, despite agreeing to the spell by skipping the wisdom saving throw, once he polymorphed into the giant ape, he would only, quote, beat his chest like King Kong on his turn.
What?
Our party finally convinced him to spend one turn pushing on the stone portal, which did break the ability for other enemies to join the battle, but he would not do anything about the approaching orcs, and our party ultimately had to run away and miss the opportunity to loot the enemy camp. Am I wrong for being annoyed at my fellow player for wasting my first opportunity to use Polymorph?
Can't punish good roleplay. This person literally went ape. Oh!
Whoa! Oh!
Yeah, boo him! There's a new Murph in town.
I would never defend this. Babyface turn. That's a wrestling lingo. Yeah, 10 people know. No, Deborah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
It's also just, it's just not funny. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, maybe if there was a building he could climb or a big banana he could eat,
yeah,
then it'd be funny. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part of the King Kong film.
He eats the
big banana.
Oh, he's going to eat the big banana. We spent all year making that.
Making it.
That's what farmers call it when you grow stuff.
We asked our counting horse to make us a banana. He can only count to one.
What is this farm?
I'm imagining the whole table sitting there in silence.
Yeah.
As the guy's like, I beat my chest.
Okay.
And King Kong, you remember that movie from 100 years ago?
I'm picturing the DM also being like, you could do that as a free action.
You actually have. They have like pretty high wisdom.
I'm going to go ahead and allow that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like.
An ape would like attack someone that was attacking it. That would be really normal. Yeah. No.
I beat my chest so hard. Just
the ape is Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
You want to roll to pick fleas off a friend. Excellent. A point of inspiration. So good.
I think this is really fun and really smart. And
yes. You're smart.
Yes.
Not your friend. Really not the barbarian.
Yeah.
This was great.
Yeah. I think I got it. I can't even wrap my head around this person.
It's also, like making a king, like doing a King Kong impression, it was like 50 years too late 20 years ago.
At least do a Rampage impression.
Like, I don't know. I feel like the Looney Tunes would make fun of that in like the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Jack Black one's coming around again.
Since we always like try and
give a generous read.
What if the generous read?
Let's defend.
I think
the generous read was this person was just having a real good time with how disappointed everyone was in them. I've been there.
You think this was their heel turn?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think I can offer another generous read, which is that maybe this barbarian was like excited about like dying in this like crucial battle. Like they thought that this was going to be like their moment.
This is not the way to do it.
Yes, die without a fight.
No. Being disappointed that the druid used a fourth level spell to give you 157 hit points.
And they failed the wisdom save on purpose. They wanted this.
Yeah, it's
they
true.
Accepted it.
Yeah. It's such a cool use of the spell too. Yeah. And what a way to like just deflate the air out of the room.
Right.
Again, I'm just imagining everyone being silent around the table as somebody does a very old King Kong impression.
Well, I think we're in agreement then to sentence the ape, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately,
the barbarian.
The ape for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Deborah, we're on your side.
Animals behaving badly tonight.
The theme continues.
What are we going to do to this ape?
God.
Push him off a tall building?
Whoa.
That sounds fair.
Death. Yeah, I guess that's what happens to King Kong, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
spoilers, dude.
Sorry. Sorry.
It's coming back around, I heard.
Yeah.
The Jack Black one might be different. It also seems like the ape doesn't die because they've made like 9 movies.
Well, and you're getting into like the Godzilla vs. King Kong universe.
Oh,
where, of course,
damn.
You know, you have to go to like the Hollow Earth.
You have
Earth
to listen
within.
To Caldwell talk about King Kong.
So anyway, Hollow Earth theory. Inside of this world, there is a world full of monsters. That is where Mothra comes from, as well as several other of our friends.
Yes, so it's that, but for life.
It's that for like a whole Sunday. Like one of those Sundays that you were going to have to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Do you want to hear about Gamera? He's friend of children. He's a big turtle monster.
You thought you were going to like meal prep for the week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought you were going to catch up on some emails?
Yeah, but
not
no.
Just have some peaceful silence.
Yeah.
Okay.
I randomly ordered us Chinese food. Now we're going to talk about Skull Island.
I rolled for you. I got broccoli and chicken minus the chicken.
14, that's steamed rice.
14, that's uncooked rice.
A one, an open fortune cookie with the fortune gun. All right. Our next case comes from Rousty S., who is here with us tonight as well.
Ooh,
hey, hey!
Rousty!
Hey, hey!
Rousty, hello, Rousty writes, "Dear honorable and hungry judges Murphy, Axford, and Tanner,
and bailiff
Frank."
Thank you for acknowledging.
Yeah.
So,
get him.
Not even close. And we like me now, I think.
Not anymore, dude.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
The
reviews
are.
You guys can hate Frank all you want. My table is currently knock it off. My table is currently.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
middling about Bailiff Jake, so
I think also when we say order, that means actually we all just cheer a lot.
Yeah.
That's good.
Disorder!
My table is currently playing in an 80s New York action film themed D&D game.
Yes, sick.
That has come to a gastric impasse.
Okay. Oh, no.
In the hopes of emulating the video game trope of instantly eating food for health, right. I, the DM, proposed that instead of healing potions, adventurers in our world would slam back a hot dog during combat.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Already off the bat, I'm like, awesome idea. And then if I think about it for 2 seconds, I'm like, I'm sick. I'm sick
There's
already.
Proof that you could slam a hot dog so fast.
I could eat a hot dog
how
as a bonus action.
How fast could you slam a hot dog?
It's a bonus action, easily.
Yeah.
Don't get
how
too far ahead of this.
How fast could you?
As a free action.
I Whoa. Think I would be...
Does anyone have a hot dog?
Is there a hot dog chef in the audience?
How fast can you slam a hot dog?
I think a minute and a half.
That's very reasonable.
Six rounds of combat.
I was going to say probably something similar for me. Because of course I'd be reading something.
Yeah. And I want to have chips with it.
Yeah. Just imagine being in a hot dog eating contest and just like putting on ketchup as fast as you can. Just like eating a chip with each bite.
Saying afterwards. Imagine Joey Chestnut just being like, oh, wow.
You really got to stop every once in a while. Just remember that you're eating a great hot dog.
That's a ballpark.
God, it's good.
Pull it out of Vanity Fair.
It's about
Fair.
The taste as much as it is the speed.
Also, it's interesting seeing my own biases because normally I would be very against something so silly, but since it's nasty, I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is great. Yeah.
I eat a lollipop and we get health.
Yeah. You're like, get out of here.
Eat a full turkey, you idiot. Yeah.
Eating spaghetti? That's funny.
It's also like the shape of it is so wrong. I hate both parts of the hot dog equation for the phrase slam. Because the bread just like into your face. Yeah. The hot dog just like slides all the way down without a single bite.
You gotta horseshoe it. You gotta horseshoe it into your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Break it up into some water.
Like a retainer. You just like fold the
Yeah. Yeah, you dunk it in water, break it in half.
Yeah, you
fold can also
the dog.
Separate. You can separate the bun from the dog. So dog goes down like a pill.
Yeah.
Bun gets soaked in the water.
Just also, making a hot dog like a pill.
Yeah.
Have you never thought about
what
this?
What if you just took it to a chop shop, you know, or chop stop, where they go like
just a hot dog salad that's just hot dogs. Things.
We're milking time so people can Uber Eats us a bunch of hot dogs.
Okay, sorry. Okay, go on. So I really got distracted.
In honor of glizzy realism.
Whoa.
Glizzy is a slang word for a hot dog that I learned today. I offered that players, I offered that players could make a con-saving throw to see if their character can get an action and a hot dog in the same turn.
Love it. It just keeps getting better.
This is getting very hot dog focused.
I want to fucking play at your table. You're doing it right.
Yeah.
Or you if they tell me this ahead of time, I'm like, great. Yeah, I'm a wizard, but my con is my max stat.
I'm a con-based sorcerer. No, not for the reason you think.
No, not mechanically, for hot dogs.
All right, my players began immediately arguing that their characters should not need to make con saves, as 6 seconds would be more than enough time for their characters to eat a hot dog and perform their action.
This only goes one way.
To prove this, we decided to have the players try to snarf a dog. In under 6 seconds.
As you should. This makes a lot of sense.
After diligent testing, we found that 6 seconds is, in fact, not enough time for my players.
I knew it! You can't read an article and snarf. Yeah. Same time as 6 seconds.
Not enough time for my players to consume a pork missile. However,
Bravo.
I love you. You're living life right.
However, they continued to argue, saying that their characters would be great glizzy guzzlers given the amount of practice they would have.
I just think that my character would be really good at eating hot dogs.
I think that would be reflected in their con saving throws, though, right? Mm-hmm.
While I don't expect my players to achieve Joey Chestnut level of hot dog horking in the real world, I still want it to be a challenge to be rewarded with healing and an action. So I ask you, do you think 6 seconds is enough time to hork a hot dog and perform your combat action? We await your judgment.
I mean, if you go like Breath of the Wild style, like you can just shove that thing in your mouth and then slash with your sword.
No, we're going glizzy realism. I'm siding with glizzy realism.
Why play 80s New York if you want real? They want John Carpenter-esque New York.
Guys, this is the definition of a crunchy campaign.
No, more like soft and...
Actually, a squishy campaign.
This campaign
should be squishier with the rules.
I have to believe
this was already solved with the con saving throw,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think you did it right.
Because you already... That will determine how fast you can eat a hot dog.
Also, your players entering the... Like, heeding the call to try to hork a hot dog in 6 seconds was them entering into a contract that if they couldn't do it... then it wouldn't count. And if they could do it, then it would. And when they failed, they tried to say, doesn't count.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no takesies, backsies.
All right.
Also, so...
Okay.
The general, just like a regular person in D&D, if you're just like, this is just a person.
Yeah.
Just like the commoner stats, which would be like all of us,
yeah,
would be everybody just has a 10 across the board. Okay. Plus 0 to everything.
Wait.
So somebody with
commoners are all 10s?
All 10s. All right.
It's not bad.
They're a 10, but they can't eat a hot dog in 6 seconds.
They can't eat a hot dog.
I'd take 10.
So I would say your average person has a plus 0 to con, and they're not able to eat the hot dog.
What's
in
the DC?
What is the DC? Oh, let's have a one. We'll get the DC. Yeah. What's the DC?
What's the DC?
We never made it that far.
We'll get some clarity here. We'll solve a DC.
Yeah.
I think we're already on your side, but we're
really
gonna
are.
Let's fix this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the fastest somebody ate a hot dog?
Oh, great question.
That's 7 or 8 seconds.
7 or 8. Okay,
seven
that's pretty good.
Okay,
so I would say a plus 1 to con.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that person has a plus 1 to con, right?
Uh-huh.
So they should be able to do it like half the time or consistently.
So what does that translate into a DC?
A DC 11, I would think.
DC 11? Okay.
That should we all roll?
I fucking upchuck my hot dog. I got a 9.
I also, I beefed it.
I got a 12, so I'm down in that dog.
11 almost seems too generous.
Too generous?
Yeah. I think 11's
too
generous.
We go a little higher?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. If we're saying 7 or 8, why don't we say DC 15?
Okay.
DC 15.
DC 15,
yeah.
All right.
I hear a lot of horses in the audience counting.
I don't know, but Joey Chestnut probably has a plus 5 to con. He should be down in these faster than plus 10. You know what? You need a hot dog eating proficiency. Yeah, that your players can take as well. Oh, that'll fix it. Joey Chestnut has proficiency in eating hot dogs.
I would just be like, you could just kind of generalize that beyond hot dogs to just eating on the go proficiency, because I definitely have one of those.
Yeah.
Just housing some toast as you're late to school.
Okay, so we are definitely siding with...
The DM.
Yeah, the DM. The DM, yeah.
So the punishment is for the players.
Punishment is for the players.
I just love this whole campaign.
Yeah. And yet they must be punished.
They must be punished. We could do like a croissanting, but with hot dogs.
Oh! That's so funny, because every time you project one, you're just waiting to see the wiener separate from the bun.
You're just hoping you get hit by the bread.
Yeah.
All right. So
not the wiener.
What you got to do is you got to go to like a batting cage, and when no one's looking.
What?
Why can't they be
continue.
Looking?
Continue. Continue.
When no one's looking,
okay,
you just load that bad boy up with hot dogs.
Ooh.
That's
you stand it. You go in there without a bat.
That's a prank on the batting cage.
Yeah.
As a hot dog just instantly folds up into the machine.
I
think it would fully spray you with, it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't like be perfect chum. Hot dogs, but yeah. You would get sprayed by beef.
I actually like this, because you would get sprayed by beef juice,
yeah.
And if you didn't, you would have to apologize to whoever owned the batting cages, which would be a punishment.
We sentence you to apologize to the owner and operator of batting cages.
We sentence you to ruin a batting cage. And you have to go apologize to all the families that are there.
Right.
Be like, you don't understand. There was a super niche comedy sort of D&D show. They don't play D&D on it.
Yeah.
They talk about other people playing D&D.
They were wearing robes.
Yeah, anyway, make sure to mention us.
I saw them in Boston.
Uh-huh. Did you know horses can count, sir? Yeah.
That's what
horses
we learned.
Can count not and very I can high. Eat a hot dog in 8 seconds. Anyways, you're going to want to call the maintenance guy.
I love somebody finishing it in 8 seconds. There was definitely a huge argument about whether or not it was down all the way. Because that's so close to 6 seconds.
That's so devastating.
You know, there was like a heated argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, though. Yeah. This seems like a fun campaign.
Okay. But do go shove a hot dog in a batting cage.
Yeah.
So, okay. So ordered.
So ordered!
This one's from Sid in row 6.
Hey!
Hi, Sid.
Hi, Sid.
Hello, Sid.
May it please the court, the enlightened judges, and the deplorable bailiff.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ouch. I present to you the case of the gnome and the airtight traveling chest.
Okay.
How do you all know already?
This case lives in infamy in Boston.
You play D&D long enough, you're going to put a gnome in a chest. It's just how it works.
They brought this case to real court, and it was kicked down to us. My party and I were exploring a mountain town when we came across a sourdough monster that had escaped the local bakery.
Food-based campaign.
I respond.
I'm here
to
for it. Yeah.
Everything is either food or animals when I'm going through questions.
Yeah.
Our beloved known NPC Jim John was traveling with us. Fearing for his safety during combat, we instructed him to hide in a large empty chest that was hitched to our wagon.
Is he gonna die?
Okay.
Jim John did so, and we fought valiantly against the sourdough monster, defeating it.
This sounds great. No conflict.
Yeah. Jim John's not so making it out of this question.
We continued traveling and eventually decided that Jim John could come out of the chest safely.
Oh. Wait, they kept traveling?
Reasonable. This is all reasonable.
No, they forgot about Jim
getting
John.
Away from the cursed they were getting away from the cursed bakery.
Eventually decided?
They just finished fighting a sourdough monster.
We opened the chest and Jim John was fine. Just kidding. We opened the chest... And much to our astonishment, our DM announced that Jim John's corpse fell out.
Yes!
He suffocated in the chest, he informed us. He reported the chest lid was too heavy for the young gnome to open on his own from the inside.
That's so graphic!
The chest served as a sarcophagus in which Jim John met his untimely death.
Revivify!
We, of course, protested this with a variety of arguments, but all were met with the staunch rebuttal. We eventually moved from denial and bargaining into acceptance and held a funeral for Jim John on a quiet riverbed in the forest.
You murdered Jim John. You left him in there.
to this day, my party and I feel our DM wronged our beloved Jim John. So I ask you wise judges, was our DM right to have Jim John suffocate in the chest? Or is there a chance he could have survived his time in there and we should still have him here with us today?
Okay, so this chest is airtight and also soundproof?
Well, they left him in there.
He was in like the back seat of the car. They probably would have heard him.
But he might have just, as he slowly lost access to oxygen, got really sleepy.
He was yelling, but
say it's really peaceful.
Yeah,
when
shouting would take more oxygen. Yeah.
He was scared. He was yelling, but nothing was coming out. And he was banging his tiny little fists, hoping. Actually, the case had a lining on the top that was scratched with Jim John's nails. And we found little bits of fabric.
Eventually scratched into a final message of, I love you, thank you for saving me, ... until you didn't.
The problem here for me is the phrase, we continued traveling and eventually decided that it was time to proceed.
We can ask for some clarity from Sid. Mm-hmm. How long were you traveling for before you decided to check on Jim John?
Maybe like 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
That's them suffocating times.
Now,
I mean, that is a power nap.
I remind you, everyone
That's
is under oath
nap.
By entering this building. Did you forget about Jim John?
Maybe a little.
Maybe a little, she said.
My favorite part about this is the the DM announced that Jim John's corpse fell out. Like, he was so dead that he was an object.
It wasn't Jim John fell out. Yeah. It was Jim
corpse.
Jim
John's corpse. This isn't tumbled. Jim John anymore.
Also,
this is a corpse
out.
Now.
Do you think the DM was just done with Jim John?
It's not. I also have another question. Like, is
it's really funny,
this airtight chest? Like, did you think it was a normal chest, and then you found out it was airtight after he hit him?
It's just like
okay. It's a seemingly normal chest.
But you can't like. People get trapped in places and die.
It depends on if the DM was like, oh yeah, there's a chest. Uh-huh. You think like, you know, wooden slated kind of chest. That's what I would picture.
The chests like are to lock.
It was an igloo cooler.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, no,
if it's an igloo cooler, you gotta tell your PC.
If it's an igloo or a Yeti, then you have to tell somebody.
Oh, if it's
those
a
are
Yeti,
airtight.
Yeah.
If you were to say, yeah, you can put Jim John in there, you do have to take out the Gatorades.
Yeah.
Then you've implied it was an igloo cooler.
I will say, if it's an antique trunk, those have. There's breathability in there.
Yeah.
I actually used to hide in one when I was a kid.
The Jake defense.
Jake is a ghost.
Yeah. Here's okay. I'm gonna flip a little bit because I'm imagining.
Ladies and gentlemen,
big flipper,
big flipper.
Let's see. Was the term? Did you guys lock the chest that Jim John was in?
Did we lock the chest?
Yeah,
you
did.
Locked it.
Maybe.
Okay. I think you murdered this gnome.
Listen,
if it wasn't locked,
we locked the chest. Well, we put him in a couple plastic bags for safekeeping.
I don't think you locked the chest. I don't think you locked the chest because the DM said it was too heavy for Jim John to press up.
Oh, okay.
So if they said it was locked, the DM would have said, you guys locked the chest.
You didn't lock the chest. And if the DM didn't say, you closed the chest and the sound of air, like...
The DM made the decision that this was airtight and very heavy after Jim John was inside the chest.
The airtight, I think, is let's throw that out. Because just if somebody's locked in a chest, they're going to die. Like,
no, you could
not me when I was playing hide and seek with my sisters. I survived and I won.
Wait, I can just put my hand right.
It was such a bad idea for you to go in there that they didn't think you were in there.
Yeah.
I do think it is bullshit to be like, the gnome can't lift the chest. Because, like, yeah, he'd be able to open the...
Yeah, with his feet, maybe to kick it.
Yeah, it's just a lid.
Heavy.
I think we got to circle back to the fact that the DM was done with Jim John.
I think the DM was
The DM was like,
done.
Okay, I don't like doing this voice.
I think forgetting...
Also, the name Jim John sounds like one of those names that you're like, what's this NPC's name? And the DM's like, I don't fucking... Jim John.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Just like, yeah.
And then you as the PC are like, Jim John!
Yeah.
We love you. You're going to be around forever.
Yeah, here I am. I love Skittles, I guess.
Holy shit, you're coming with us, dude.
All right. I'm very important here. I'm the mayor of the town. Should I really? I'm coming with you?
Get in the trunk, man.
Are you sure?
It looks
You'll have to open
tight.
The lid for me. It's so heavy.
All right. I'm honestly kind of split on this. Because yeah. I think that I think Jim John should have been able to lift the trunk.
Yeah.
I think the fact that the player wasn't sure if it was locked, though, and the we eventually decided. Plus, did you forget about Jim John? Maybe.
Yes.
I'm going to...
I think I'm... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I'm going to... I'll side with the DM and say that Jim John is dead.
The DM... callously murdered Jim John.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was premeditated. This was in cold blood that this happened.
From the DM's mind loins, Jim John came, and back into the DM, Jim John must return.
Yeah.
It is the DM's right and choice whether or not Jim John lives or dies.
I kind of agree with Caldwell. I think I'm going to side with the DM. I have no clue why.
Something I like to do.
Oh my gosh, boo.
Yes. Makes us stronger.
This was murder. But that happens in court sometimes.
I think it was murder, but it led to a very funny story, which is why I'm siding with the DM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also going and having a private funeral for the NPC that you forgot about and murdered. It's very funny.
Just wow. Richard's being like, oh no, we left Balnor in a closet.
Yeah, but Balnor would be mad at us. He wouldn't necessarily be dead when we got there.
That's true.
I think death was a harsh punishment.
Would I just kill Balnor in like a basket? Probably not.
Probably not. Balnor, he fell asleep under several coats.
Yeah.
He couldn't get out. He was too cozy.
Should we throw this one to the audience? Because I feel honestly feeling a little split on this.
Okay, right. Yeah, I'm feeling split too.
I'm feeling pretty split. Okay. All right. So, if you think Jim John was killed by the players, go ahead and cheer. Okay.
Why would you cheer for that? You're monsters.
Sick.
If you think Jim John was killed needlessly by the DM, go ahead and cheer.
It sounds like...
That's pretty...
It sounds like they're split too.
It sounded pretty close, but they sustained it at
they
the end.
Okay. It. Okay, so then we're
justice
rolling.
For Jim John.
All right,
we snap into a Jim John.
May finally rest.
So, are we gonna punish the DM?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, obviously, they just have to bring in a gnome named John Jim.
Yes,
there you go. Party.
And you need to have an even sillier voice.
Yeah.
Less of a planned backstory.
He only eats hot dogs.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He only eats hot dogs, and he does have a +4/+4 sword.
Yeah, I think as players, you have the power to every time you go into a potion shop or something, really just try to adopt every NPC. Just be like, what's your name? What's your story?
Wow.
What are you doing? Would you like to come with us?
This sword sure is heavy, but I guess I'll swing it in your name.
I could lift lots of heavy things, like the lid of a trunk.
Yeah, John Jim just takes his massive sword and slices the chest in half.
Okay, so ordered.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they have the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Our next case. Thank you. Our next case comes from Liam D, who's here in row two. Shout out to you.
Shout out to the row two crew.
May it please the court and the beloved Bailiff Jake. I don't know about that tonight.
Mixed.
I bring to you a story from several years ago, so most of the details are hazy. My very first D&D campaign, I played a rogue. We had a session zero, after which the DM sent out a packet of information about the criminal underground and their homebrew world in general.
Ooh.
They had an already existing campaign in this world. It was well developed.
Cool.
I skimmed the packet, thinking it was background information for the fun of it. Cut to the
first... Oh, you could skim the packet. It's supposed to be for fun.
Cut to the first session. We are investigating some sinister going on in town. I clock some suspicious NPCs with a strange box.
Okay.
I chat them up.
Oh, no.
And they implied that the box was important to the goings on in the region and to our mission.
Okay.
When I asked for more details, the DM started speaking gibberish. In fact, they refused to answer my questions to these NPCs in anything, but what I would soon find out was thieves' cant. Apparently,
I saw so many face palms in the audience.
Apparently,
oh, weird. Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed this DM would have been crazy?
Apparently, the packet of information they gave me about the world had actually been homework for me, the player, to learn thieves' cant.
See?
Are you kidding me?
Do you see now? Why sending someone a packet is crazy.
We moved on without finding the information, and it became clear to me that not learning this information was a huge problem for the DM and for the plot.
So it's not even so the character knew thieves can't, just the player didn't learn the made-up language that the DM created.
They write, I even got the impression it was bad for the other campaign that the DM was running in that world. I was embarrassed and felt like I messed up the game and I never went back.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Was I in the wrong for not doing my homework?
You were not in
or was this an unreasonable ask for a brand new player?
So unreasonable. It's like asking a fighter to be like, you're playing a fighter in my campaign. We're going to rack the bench. Figure you put up 250 for like three or four.
Yeah.
Hey, just letting everybody know that this is going to take place in Spain, so brush up on your Espanol.
Oh, you're a monk? Do a backflip.
At least you learn a real skill. You learn a language. Yeah. This person made up a language. He wanted... Presumably the player has a job, has things to do. Learn a fake language for... At least if you learn Klingon, you can like talk to other people at a Star Trek convention.
Well, hold on.
You know what? Keep in mind the DM had a Klingon.
The DM had a campaign in the same world. They had two campaigns. Uh-huh. So you could talk to the other players from that world.
I do want to talk to the other players from that world because, like, Generous Reed, maybe they're like a hardcore group and they do like that sort of immersion and that amount of homework. That could work for you, but, like, do not just bring someone into that. That is like hardcore stuff. Like, you need to be prepped. You need to be prefaced about what you were getting yourself into.
They did get the packet.
Yeah.
But I think it's so funny to me that this person also was surprised. Like, you caught them flat-footed by not learning the language they made up.
Just imagine.
They were just like,
speaking in a made-up language to somebody.
Unraveling.
How many speaking in a made-up language to somebody, and they don't respond to you instantly back in the made-up language that you just made up, and going like, "Huh."
And then sticking to your guns so much that you don't give them any information.
It's also like, I don't remember like some of my favorite books. Uh-huh. I don't remember like anything from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just the idea that you would read somebody's packets and just be like, I know everything now. I know this language.
The only, I'm trying to do Generous Reed situation here. Really struggling. I'm going to ask you a yes, no question. Was there a companion text that said, hey, check out the packet because there's important information and a language that I made up that I'd like you to learn?
Not in that much detail.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
When I would send out, like, introductory emails and stuff to, like, you guys, it would be like, we'd read it, you'd see like a map of the world and everything, but still, when you guys went through, I wouldn't expect you to know, like, I know the name of every single shopkeeper and everything in my character's hometown and all that.
In just fact, like, Caldwell spends the whole time actively saying, I'm not going to learn any of this.
We usually edit that out.
Yeah, we have to edit it out.
We turn his mic off for the...
Yeah.
The raspberries he's blowing.
Later on, what's that?
Couple later on.
Please, man.
But sometimes it's just tough love. Like, I imagine you know thieves can't now.
Yeah.
Make you a better person?
Man, it's so... Oh,
yeah,
man.
I think we got to sentence this DM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deeply.
I would say...
But, you know, but to what? They already sound miserable.
Well, we can make them teach a horse thieves can.
Horses can learn thieves can.
Horses can learn thieves can.
So hoarded. Absolutely so hoarded.
Can I ask you, were there other people who learned thieves can't?
No, I was the rogue.
Made a language for one person?
Well, to be fair, the wizard learned real spells, so.
Yeah. Man. That's such, it's
their
such
cleric learned CPR.
It's a weird... It's so strange, too, to just pick on that one thing, because every character speaks like a gnome character speaks gnome.
Do they need to?
Yeah, for sure.
So inconsistent and yet so strange.
Yeah, they really set themselves
up
to fail.
Right? Well,
and they drag you down with them.
This DM has to adopt a horse and teach it their fake language.
Can't wait to listen to a horse speak thieves can't.
As they might
it
already.
Coordinates a theft of my personal property. A second thieving horse tonight. Okay.
Our next case comes from Three Awakened Gooses. So I take it you were at the show last night.
Oh, yeah. Who was at the show last night?
Hey!
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Three Awakened.
Two shows. That's what they call double jeopardy.
You keep saying that?
Uh-huh.
You don't know what it is. That's clear. Three Awakened Gooses writes... Hello, illustrious judges and delightful bailiff Jarf.
I like that.
Actually,
that's a good switcheroo.
Yeah. Should we get your parents on the phone and see if they like it better than Jake?
Yeah. Okay, we'll see if my dad will pick up.
Make that official.
Hey, it's your son that used to hide in the trunk all the time. He had to break it open with a crowbar to save his life.
Yeah, you thought I absolutely disappeared the last time I did it, but here I am. And I actually have a podcast, Dad.
Anyway, where's my birth certificate? I need to change it.
I'm trying to change my first name to Jarf, Dad.
I'm getting roasted on stage right now, Dad.
You must love that, Dad. I bring to you the case of the disappointed... Oh, my God. I bring to you the case of the disappointed daddy.
Whoa!
This is genuinely not planned.
I'd say we're psychic, but it's just a theme.
Yeah. In a homebrew game, another player decided to flavor his rogue as a dad and put all his stats into charisma.
Hell yeah.
What?
You know, dad flavor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of backgrounds that you can pick for D&D.
Classic rogue dad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, what would a rogue dad do? I guess he'd do, like,
scotch your
dad,
nose.
Dad jokes, steal nose. Yeah.
He specialized in persuasion and deception to convince people he was their dad.
Oh.
Okay, so this is actually
weird, but
not a rogue dad. I mean, we're actually a rogue dad.
It's a rogue dad.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's a rogue. Dad gone rogue.
All right.
No, this isn't a dad gone
because
rogue.
Because I'm not actually. Right. Oh, it's not using deception to say that they're
okay,
a dad.
Okay, just a guy going rogue dad.
Yeah.
The group was fine with this until he tried to use this ability to force PCs to do what he wanted.
No.
When he was told he can't force PCs to do what he wants with persuasion rolls, he became despondent and refused to participate.
This maniac!
And refused to
be everybody's dad.
He refused to participate in things like combat, stating, I didn't build my character for combat, and he's useless now, so I'll just watch the horse.
Get a better bit!
Stop being friends with this person.
He went as far as to disagree with the route our party was taking and venture off on his own to a brothel.
What?
That is a very dad playing D&D move.
Yeah. The campaign fizzled out soon after.
Oh, thank God.
We know.
Thank God.
I ask you, judges, were we in the wrong not to bend to his every fatherly will?
Absolutely not.
You do have to respect your dad.
Yeah. Disown this dad.
You are not wrong.
You're at a table, or you're like, there's a cast of characters, only a handful of which are autonomous beings. And there's a bunch of NPCs, and you're like, no, I need to go after the living, breathing humans.
Yeah.
I'm bored of my playthings, DM.
In the first half, I was like, okay, this is a little goofy, but the person just wants to play kind of a joke character. Yeah. They'll go make jokes to all the NPCs, but just the term despondent, just having like a temper tantrum when people won't listen to you because of your bad jokes. Like, it's not even, no one's laughing, and you're just sitting there being like, listen to me! Listen to me!
And that's not dad behavior, honestly.
No,
dad's just gotta suck it up.
I also kind of feel like if you're gonna, like, be a rogue, I feel like uncles have more rogue energy than dads.
Yeah?
For some reason, I'm like bumping up against, maybe it's just my dad, but dads are just so out in the open.
Yeah, with a dad, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Uncles are duplicitous, though. You think you know an uncle, but you don't. Like, what the fuck is your deal, Rick? You're my cousin's dad, but are you really? You had a little shed where you played with trains for a bit. I remember, Rick. What was up with that? He doesn't have the trains anymore. I don't know what he did with the trains.
You can't sell that many trains.
Rick.
This is...
So I mean, yeah, what is wild. What, we sentence the dad, I imagine.
We gotta sentence the fake dad who has insane control issues.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, the logic doesn't even add up. It's just like, I pretend to be your dad. So you do a persuasion check. And she's like... Well, what if I'm 37 and I just don't want to do what my dad tells me to do?
Yeah.
God damn it!
Yeah, it's like a weird... I convince someone that they're their dad, that I'm their dad, no matter what their relationship to their dad is.
Right.
It really seems like it could go sideways. It wasn't...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's clear, but it wasn't a well-thought-out character.
Yeah.
Well, this is... You're veering into, like, psychic territory. This is like you're, like, wiping someone's mind and convincing them you're your... Dad?
Yeah. Yeah,
your dad?
She's like, I know.
That's not a mastermind thing. That's like a step beyond. I don't know. I feel like we have to pull a role reversal and put this dad in timeout.
Oh. Put him in the chest. Yeah. Put the dad in the chest.
Oh,
yeah.
The timeout chest.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Put the dad in the chest.
Yep.
All right, sweet. Dad's going in the timeout chest.
Put him in the timeout chest. We'll let him out in 20 minutes.
All right.
Eventually.
If he's a real dad, he'll survive.
He's okay. A real daddy. He can lift the lid.
If, it would have dad strength.
If that is so ordered, then I think it's time for us to really do D&D court justice.
Oh.
And what? I think that we have more than one bailiff for D&D court, and I think I should read one of these.
I would be honored.
If I'm going to be the bailiff, then, Jake, maybe it's time you got promoted.
I...
Of course, you will have to swear yourself in.
I don't even know what to say except... I, Jake Hurwitz, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I take this obligation of my own volition and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me gods.
It's
all too much.
We will have to temper this by saying you can actually only practice in Boston.
Still an honor. Still an honor. My favorite city in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Incredible.
So, our next Actually, one Lowell's comes nice. From Emily R., who is at the Wilbur tonight.
Ooh.
No specification of location, but we love it. Okay. Good evening, your honors.
Oh. They're talking to me.
And the humble, wise bailiff, Emily.
It
didn't
go.
Say that.
There we go.
I improvised
it does say
that.
Humble, wise bailiff.
Yeah.
Somebody.
And may it please the court, I bring to you the case of the Ranger Kebab. A moment.
Oh, yeah.
From our first campaign that our group still talks about more than 5 years later. Our party was fighting a massive ghost shark on a ship deck. And my character, a multi-classed phoenix sorcerer and paladin half-elf with an explicit fire theme, used a fire area of effect spell to burn up the shark from the inside. This rad all sick. Sounds really rad so far.
The first paragraph is always so good.
Yeah. Then the shark started barfing cookies. The DM said that the shark was actually an oven and all of the dough inside him became cookies. Then the shark turned out to be my dad. Was I wrong for throwing
was I wrong
water in my DM's face and leaving?
Was I wrong for punching my DM in the face?
No, you weren't.
Context, they lost a tooth. Okay, that's not what it says. Our dwarf, so we've got a phoenix sorcerer burning up this ghost shark.
Burning up a shark.
Our dwarf fighter took a few points of damage from the spell, hurting her but not causing significant damage. However, the fighter had previously told the party that she was afraid of fire several times, in parentheses, didn't explain why, and in character, repeatedly told the sorcerer not to use fire.
Okay.
That phoenix sorcerer is all fire theme.
Why?
Pissed off by the fire spell, the fighter, in her dope half-werewolf form, that's very diplomatic
Generous,
of you
sick,
to say that,
Zoan type.
Attacked my character in retaliation, swiping the sorcerer with her claws. In self-defense, my character swung her sword at the fighter's legs to avoid lethal damage. In the heat of the moment, our DM ruled that a slashing damage attack with a sword could not be non-lethal.
It's in the book that you can always make it non-lethal. Why do you want to cause discord? Why do you want your friends to be mad at each other? Why?
Enraged, the fighter attacked again, disarming my character and sending her sword flying.
What?
Flying. The DM The DM narrated that the sword flew toward our elf ranger.
This DM wants drama.
Who was standing nearby. She failed her deck saving
Come
throw.
On. You're making up mechanics to ruin your friend group.
Just let him kill a shark.
You maniac.
And was impaled by the sword, getting pinned to the wall of the ship.
That doesn't... You can't even do that. In the game.
On the heels of a tough fight against the ghost shark and its minions, it was a tense healing moment to bring her back to safety. The debate over who was at fault for impaling our ranger pal raged on for a long time, both passionately in character and after a couple drinks, sometimes in person.
Wow.
We ask you now, honorable justices, who should be blamed for this near-death experience?
Say it with me, everybody. The DM! Good God. At first, I was like, I don't know. Let's do a generous read on
okay,
the fighter,
generous
right?
read.
Maybe she wanted to have a backstory reason to come out mm-hmm. later. It's still very limiting mm-hmm. to another player at the table. It's
who's
like,
fire themed?
Yes, exactly. It's very rude.
I'm afraid of fire.
To just be like, and you I'm not cast spells. Tell you why. My character actually doesn't like spells. So
sorry, I have an allergy. I get really sneezy.
Yeah.
So have fun tiptoeing around that. So that was weird. then it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just
the fighter attacked the
sorcerer.
The sorcerer.
Already way too much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can see this happening, like, after the battle, like, when they're at the campfire or something like that, just, like, confronting the sorcerer and being like, hey, what you did was risky.
Yeah, if you have, like, uh-huh. yes, if you're and using then, it as, like, a role play thing.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
even if you were, like, the fire goes around the ghost shark or whatever, this person takes some fire damage and they're like, I'm going to roll with disadvantage because I look freaked out. And then, like, mm-hmm. later on at the campfire,
yeah. Yeah.
not the campfire, they're scared of fire, at the camp.
Number one,
at the air holder, yeah.
At the air-conditioned Mordenkainen's magnificent
at
mansion.
At the La Quinta later on.
Yes. Then you can talk about like what happened and we can reveal it or whatever. And maybe that's even an interesting story point to have like a tense fight and the fighter can't contribute because they're scared.
Right.
And then they made that mistake to attack the other player. And then for the DM to not only encourage it and say that you can't do non-lethal damage, which is them homebrewing stuff to get their friends mad at each other, then to have the flinging sword hit somebody?
Just the elf ranger sitting there like eating Cheetos being like, this is getting pretty awkward between these two. I can't believe they're fighting.
Yikes.
Jeez, I hope my friends aren't actually getting mad in person. Fooey, I'm going to look at my phone. This is tense. Wait, what? Dex throw?
Your DM wouldn't let you do that. If you wanted to. If you're like, we're fighting two gnolls, can I throw my sword and pin him against the wall? It'd be like, absolutely not. Do you have that ability? No, but when it's against your friend, you might just do it by accident.
Was the DM generous read time? I'm putting on my generous read goggles.
Okay. We love to generously read.
Ooh. Oh, they're so cozy and airtight. Let's go for a swim in the generous lake.
Yeah. Damn,
through
airtight
the
goggles.
Of the generous marsh.
All right, let's try to defend. Let's try to defend this team.
I'm going
to
stuff my pipe with generous weed. Was the DM like trying to teach them a lesson? Were they trying to be like, look what happens when you fight? Was it that sort of thing?
To me, it seems like the DM was really loving the drama,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we're like, we're all having fun here, but what if everyone was sad and upset? Yeah.
How about if I DM it so everyone's mad afterwards?
I just love that it was just someone who was definitely checked out, dissociating from their friends fighting.
Oh, man. Just the half elf just sitting back.
What?
Oh, great pill. Session tonight, babe. All my friends hate me.
Yeah, I think there was just a moment of maybe being like this is really dramatic. I think mm-hmm. this is going to be a fun, tense thing. And then just threw all the rules out the window.
Yeah.
To the detriment of everyone.
For sure.
Okay, so who are you guys? Who do you want to sentence?
The DM.
The DM.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are thinking the DM, yeah. not the mm-hmm. half-elf ranger for getting involved.
Oh, that's a good point. That's like a good point. They should have passed their death saving throw. You're yeah. right.
I mean, they're a ranger. They should have better decks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, the fighter also, it feels like, is
yeah.
like jumped the gun a little bit. Uh-huh.
It's so, the DM stuff is so cartoonishly over the top, though. Mm-hmm. That I don't even remember what the fighter did at this point.
I guess the fighter decided that they wanted to... No, the DM was the one that said it couldn't be non-lethal.
Yeah, the DM just continued to stoke the fire. The fighter made the first attack.
The fighter attacked the player.
Yes, mm-hmm. and then the DM threw gasoline.
Something doesn't sit right with me, the fighter not explaining why they're afraid of fire. Yeah. There's some kind of drama brewing under... It wasn't just like this session went wild. It was yeah. like this fighter feels like they were...
It's like if we went into the campaign and I was like... Like three episodes in, Bev was just like, "I really don't like mushrooms."
Yeah,
yeah.
And
even if he was like, "It'll come out later in my backstory," you would still be
later,
like, "Why?"
But can we 86 yeah. the mushrooms for now?
It's just like if like one of your players is literally on fire, you have to bring it up real quick. You can't let that fester. It's not going to be fun. Justice Hurwitz, would you like to give a punishment?
I sentence the fighter to death.
I got the DM.
Take his robe. He's naked under here.
I serve for life in Boston.
It's true. Disorder.
Hey, you don't have that anymore.
Disorder.
Oh, right. Okay, should we do one more for Justice Drake to redeem himself?
Yeah. To redeem himself.
Yeah.
DM has to also go in the dad
joke. Okay. Yeah. So ordered. Mauricio, who is here tonight.
Hey!
May it please the court and the illustrious bailiff. Yeah. You got that right, Mauricio. I bring to you the case of Oka, the half-orc paladin artificer. I play at a local bar that hires a DM to hold sessions for patrons. That's
Ooh,
cute.
That's awesome.
That's a fun idea. Where party members come and go. One player named Oka brought a homebrewed half-orc artificer paladin. Oka refused to tell us which god he worships or
Why?
What makes him a paladin, Why? But insists our party guess at every turn.
What?
Because his backstory is so cool and could be a campaign in and of itself.
Oh.
Buddy.
Why? Why?
The audacity to be like, guys, I feel like my backstory could be a campaign in itself.
Yeah. Then DM! They're having to hire DMs! Just DM!
This all came to a head when my druid, Cletus, great name, casted Detect Magic to investigate a magical wagon a hag was using to sell items out of. Oka abruptly interrupted the DM's description of the wagon to exclaim that my character would see the magic of his necklace around his neck.
Oh, wait, shut up, everyone.
Me.
Wait, quiet, everyone, shut the fuck up.
It's my turn.
Just holding up shush fingers to a DM and saying, I got this.
One moment.
I got this. The light of a god you can't comprehend emanates from my necklace.
Standing up from his chair.
Not wanting to ruin the DM's moment of explaining his bad guy's lair, I ignored Oka and continued to investigate the wagon. Later, during a long rest, I asked Oka about his necklace. That is very generous.
Very generous of
you.
That's very nice. I do think Oka needed a win.
He rolled a deception check.
Wow.
And loudly said, Oka has a normal necklace. There's nothing special about his necklace. He rolled a 12 and I a 15, so I knew he was lying. After pointing this out, he still refused to tell me. I said, okay, and walked away.
Oka just sweating.
We love healthy boundaries.
It's such a perfect way to deal with it. It's just like, you know what? Clearly needs a win. We're going to go over. You want to talk about your necklace? Let's go over and talk about your necklace. Okay, you don't want to talk about your necklace? I'm out of here.
I'm like already just dreaming of an Oka Taruk campaign.
Oh my God.
After the session, Oka pulled the DM and I aside to express his disappointment that I didn't try to learn more about his necklace, as it had to do with his backstory.
Which could be a campaign in and of itself, let's
Am
all remember.
We can't let it all out in one session.
Or was I right for ignoring a player trying to make the story about himself?
Absolutely. You're harassing an employee. This person's on the clock.
I'm really picturing Oka, or the player who played Oka, having like really long swoopy bangs that he keeps like...
just a massive necklace, and he's just like, oh, what necklace?
Oka does a deception check.
I'm going to roll in front of the table. Oh, okay. Actually, his advantage, but I'm going to roll it behind.
Do you mind? Actually, I'm just going to get behind the screen real quick, if that's okay. Can I get behind the screen for this part?
No.
I've prepared a couple statements here. You should just read this for me.
You know Oka sent the DM their backstory.
Also, imagine...
They're like, hey, I think you're going to want to leaf through this. Yeah. There is a made-up language in there that... I'm going to need you to Duolingo.
Yeah.
Release the pack. I need you to delete your notes for the week, all right? Take your notes and just toss them out the window. Because Oka's backstory is coming out.
I'm just picturing Oka sliding their like thick stack of backstory under the DM screen, pushing their notes aside.
Yeah. Their laptop falls on the ground.
The worst part about this is I guarantee you the reveal is going to be that Oka's god is like the player himself.
Oh, God.
Oka is
actually the child of the god.
That's absolutely what it is.
It's absolutely some fucking like 80s Marvel Comics bullshit.
Good Lord. Can you imagine being a hired DM and, you know, your buddy who like owns a bar or something calls you and just like, hey, I know you run the game. Wouldn't it be so cool? We'll pay you some money. You'll be a paid DM. They're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then you got to talk to fucking Oka. And you have to have like a sit down after about how people weren't asking enough questions.
Oka.
And you're like, I'm doing this for a free blue moon.
Hey, can I talk to you?
And I didn't even get an orange wedge in it.
Just fucking following the DM to their car.
Oka didn't like the way that went. Oka actually has a magic necklace, but Oka wasn't asking all about Oka's necklace. You're standing in front of my car door, Oka.
Don't you understand? The deception check was an invitation to probe deeper.
Oka's just guarded.
That's what they wanted. They want to play a guarded, secretive character that people have to beg to find out about their story.
I just kind of wish that this was a book about Oka instead of like some sort of cooperative game.
Yeah. A boca.
I actually think I have a great punishment for Oka.
Oh.
I think that Oka should have to play with Weird Rogue Dad player.
Oh.
Then Weird Rogue Dad player will use his weird skills to reveal Oka's backstory.
Oh, yes.
And they can both annoy the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yes, 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 yes.
Disappointed.
So Oka.
So Oka.
And now... We also usually close these shows with a confession.
Ooh.
this courtroom becomes a church, which is a tradition.
Not the best.
But. Yeah, there's no separation between church and state here.
It's
and
messy.
This one is actually not a confession, but I do think that it's something that the clergy can accommodate. Hmm.
I brought out my collar for it.
Let me tuck mine in.
I'll zip up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll close my robe.
I don't think judges do that either.
RJ Card, are you here?
Yes.
All right, sweet. Woo.
Give him a round.
RJ writes, may it please the court, I proposed to my fiance directly before your show last year in Boston.
Love.
I must have rolled a nat 20 on persuasion. Just like that persuasive rogue dad. Because she said yes.
She said yes to learning more about your necklace.
Then, at the show, I caught Justice Tanner's thrown nat 20 die.
Oh.
Further proving this divine intervention.
Truly.
Now, in the eyes of the court, with us sitting at your judicious feet, we would like to receive the court's official ruling on our luck and happiness from the justices themselves and physical extensions of Dice Christ themselves. We humbly await your sentencing. RJ and Megan. Now,
congratulations.
Congratulations. By the way,
I know you guys got engaged last year. Are you married?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now,
okay.
Here's something interesting. So you can get married in a traditional church, but
we are ordained.
I am technically ordained. I'm marrying a friend later this year.
So. We won't make you decide to get married on stage, but we will bless your union in the eyes of Dice Christ.
Why don't we all go ahead and roll, and then the highest roll can give them a blessing.
A blessing.
Quadruple advantage.
Okay.
Here we go. We're rolling.
You say quadruple advantage, right?
I got a shout out to the two crew.
Which looks like two people walking down the aisle together.
And two.
One and one.
Two people in love.
Wow.
And I got a 9, which is...
Nine.
Yeah.
It's half of 69.
Nine roses on your marital bed. Yes. Yes.
We've got you walking down the aisle, just the two of you, and we've got a lifetime full of...
69-ing.
Yeah, full of half of a 69,
yeah, just
so
nine-ing.
One person's not getting it.
Right. That's just classic oral, which is pretty good.
And folks, I got a 19, because next time when you get married, you're going to get a +1 to your proficiency, and it's going to be a dirty 20.
Pope Tanner, would you care to offer?
If anyone has any reason that these two should not be married, leave.
Oh, I have. Would you like to offer a blessing for their wedding, for their marriage?
Yes. You know, There are 20 sides to every die, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
Not every die.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that actually does not.
To a lot of them, though.
Yes.
Some dice have 6 sides. Some dice have 8. You know, some of them just are coins.
You are obsessed with flipping coins.
But no matter what dice you roll, you can face any odds. And I truly believe that love is love is love is love.
You're gonna beat any DC your DM throws at you.
Yes, you are.
And you do have a magical necklace.
And you'll ask each other about your magical necklaces, and you'll read each other's packets.
You're gonna spend the rest of your lives learning each other's complicated backstories.
Yes. We did it.
We did it.
And you'll be together for Let's Go to the Horse.
ever.
And with that, you know what? We're feeling generous. So rather than doing the normal punishments, putting rogue dads into trunks mm-hmm. and whatnot.
You're all going to be expunged tonight because someone has offered to take a croissanting for all of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Boston. That's our show.
Thank you, Boston.
Point is adjourned.